She became situated in knowledge due to realization of the absolute truth. Her heart became purified. She became fully absorbed in meditation upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And all misgivings due to the modes of material nature disappeared. Page 26. Her mind became completely engaged in the Supreme Lord, and she automatically realized the knowledge of the impersonal Brahman. As a Brahman realized soul, she was freed from the designations of the materialistic concept of life. Thus, all pain disappeared, and she attained transcendental bliss. Wherefore, the previous verse states that Devahuti was already conversant with the absolute truth. It would be questioned why she was meditating. The explanation is that when one theoretically discusses the absolute truth, becomes situated in the impersonal concept of the absolute truth. Similarly, when one seriously discusses such a matter of the form, all of these pastimes and entourage of the Supreme Personality of God, then he becomes situated in meditation on him. If one has complete knowledge of the Supreme Lord, then knowledge of the impersonal Brahman is automatically realized. The absolute truth is realized by the knower according to three different angles of vision, namely impersonal Brahman, localized supersoul, ultimately the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If one is situated, therefore, in knowledge of the Supreme Person, this implies that one is already situated in the concept of supersoul and impersonal Brahman. In Bhagavad Gita, it said, Brahma Bhuta Prasanna. This means that unless one is freed from the material entanglement and situated in Brahman, there is no question of entering into the understanding of devotional service or engaging in Krishna consciousness. One who is engaged in devotional service to Krishna consciousness should be already realized in Brahman concept of life, because transcendental knowledge of the Supreme Personality of God includes knowledge of Brahman. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Brahmanohi Prakashaham. The concept of personality of God does not depend on Brahman. The Vishnu Purana also confirms that one who has taken shelter of the all-auspicious Supreme Lord is already situated in the understanding of Brahman. In other words, one who is a Vaishnava is already a Brahmana. Another significant point of this verse is that one has to observe the prescribed rules and regulations. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Vyuktahara Viharasya, when one engages in devotional service in Krishna consciousness, he still has to eat, sleep, event, and mate, because these are necessities of the body. But he performs such activities in a regulated way. He has to eat Krishna prasada, he has to sleep according to regulated principles. The principle is to reduce the duration of sleep and to reduce eating, taking only what is needed to keep the body fit. In short, the goal of spiritual advancement, not sense gratification. Similarly, sex life must be reduced. Sex life is meant only for beginning Krishna conscious children. Otherwise, there is no necessity for sex life. Nothing is prohibited, but everything is made yukta, regulated, with the higher purpose always in mind. By following all these rules and regulations of living, one becomes purified, and all misconceptions due to ignorance become nil. It is specifically mentioned here that the causes of material entanglement are completely vanquished. The Sanskrit statement anartha nivritti indicates that this body is unwanted. We are spirit soul, and there was never any need of this material body, but because we wanted to enjoy the material body, we have this body through material energy under the direction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As soon as we are re-establishing our original position of servitorship to the Supreme Lord, we begin to forget the necessities of the body, and last we forget the body. Sometimes in the dream we get a particular type of body with which to work in the dream. I may dream that I am flying in the sky, or that I have gone into the forest or some unknown place, but as soon as I awake, I forget all these bodies. Similarly, when one is Krishna conscious, fully devoted, he forgets all his changes of body. We are always changing bodies, beginning at birth in the womb of our mother. And when we are awakened to Krishna consciousness, we forget all these bodies. The bodily necessities become secondary, for the prime necessity is engagement of the soul in real spiritual life. The activities of devotional service in full Krishna consciousness are the cause of being situated in transcendence. The words Bhagavati Atma Samsraye denote the personality of God as the supreme soul of the soul of everyone. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Vijam Mam Sarvabhutanam, I am the seat of all entities. By taking shelter of the Supreme Being, by the process of devotional service, one becomes fully situated in the concept of the personality of Godhead. As described by Kapila, Madguna Sruti Matrena, one who is fully Krishna conscious, situated in the personality of Godhead, is immediately saturated with love of God as soon as he hears about the transcendental qualities of the Lord. Devahuti was fully instructed by her son, Kapiladeva, on how to concentrate her mind on the Vishnu form in full detail. Following the instructions of her son in the matter of devotional service, she contemplated the form of the Lord within herself with great devotional love. That is the perfection of Brahman realization or the mystic yoga system or devotional service. At the ultimate issue, when one is fully absorbed in thought of the Supreme Lord and meditates on him constantly, that is the highest perfection. Bhagavad Gita affirms that one who is always absorbed in such a way is to be considered the topmost yogi. The real purpose of all processes of transcendental realization, jnana yoga, bhakti yoga, is to arrive at the point of devotional service. If one endeavors simply to achieve knowledge of the absolute truth of the Super Soul but has no devotional service, he labors without gaining the real result. This is compared to beating the husks of wheat after the grains have already been removed. Unless one understands the Supreme Personality of God to be the ultimate goal, it is valueless simply to speculate or perform mystic yoga practice. In the Astanga Yoga system, the seventh stage of perfection is jhana. This jhana is the third stage in devotional service. There are nine stages of devotional service. The first is hearing, then comes chanting, and then contemplating. By executing devotional service, therefore, one automatically becomes an expert jnani and an expert yogi. In other words, jnana and yoga are different preliminary stages of devotional service. Devahuti was expert in accepting the real substance. She contemplated the form of Vishnu in detail, advised by her son Kapiladeva. At the same time, she was thinking of Kapiladeva, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore she completely perfected her austerities, penance, and transcendental realization. Thereafter, having heard with great eagerness and in all detail from her son Kapiladeva, the eternally smiling personality of Godhead, Devahuti began to meditate constantly on the Vishnu form of the Supreme Lord. She did so with serious engagement in devotional service. Because she was strong in renunciation, she accepted only the necessities of the body. She became situated in knowledge due to realization of absolute truth. Her heart became purified. Became fully absorbed in meditation on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And all misgivings due to the modes of material nature disappeared. Her mind became completely engaged in the Supreme Lord, and she automatically realized knowledge of the impersonal Brahman. As a Brahman-realized soul, she was freed from the designations of the material concept of life. Thus all material pangs disappeared and she attained transcendental bliss. So these verses indicate that Devahuti did bhakti and she meditated upon the form of the Supreme Lord. It is also mentioned here that she attained also realization of Brahman. And thus, she was completely free of the influence of material energy. So, the normal concept of spiritual life in the Vedas is that one should understand one is not the body by understanding that one is Atman. And when one does so, then one begins to practice detachment from the body and the material world. However, we also know that this is a preliminary stage and that though we have Brahman and the process of jnana to attain that, that this is not the ultimate stage according to the Bhagavatam. So beyond detachment and realization of Brahman is realization of the Supreme Lord and achievement of prema through the process of bhakti. So Devahuti actually performed bhakti, but here it is mentioning that she attained Brahman. So how is it possible that she would get the result of Brahman when she actually didn't want that? She wanted the Supreme Lord. The answer is that the Brahman is a secondary aspect of her realization. So the Supreme Lord contains many different aspects and many different forms. We know that there is Brahman aspect, Paramatma aspect, and Bhagavan aspect. So Brahman is incomplete, Paramatma is incomplete, and Bhagavan is complete. And they're also one. So if we realize Brahman, this is also realization of the Lord, but in an incomplete way. Comparable to the Lord's effulgence. If we realize Paramatma, we realize one particular form of the Lord with a limited function. But it's still the Lord. And if you realize Bhagavan, we realize the Lord with his form, qualities, and activities. So if we simply realize Brahman, we are realizing an aspect of the Lord. If we realize Paramatma, we're also realizing one particular aspect of the Lord. If we realize Bhagavan, we realize the complete Lord. So that includes Paramatma and Brahman, because it's complete. However, in that realization of Bhagavan, the devotee does not relish the realization of Brahman or Paramatma. His concentration is simply upon Bhagavan. But whatever is in Brahman is also in Bhagavan. Whatever is in Paramatma is also in Bhagavan. So if Devahuti attains the Supreme Lord as Bhagavan, then automatically she also attains Brahman and Paramatma. Since the Lord is one, and if we have a complete realization, it should include everything. So that is the sense that is mentioned, that is meant here when Devahuti attains Brahman. So this is a secondary result of her realization of Bhagavan, which she attained through process of bhakti and meditation upon the form of the Supreme Lord. So according to the process of bhakti, one will attain Bhagavan. And this will include realization of Brahman and Paramatma. So we shouldn't think that her final realization after worshipping the Lord was finally realization of Brahman. Rather, Brahman was a secondary aspect of her realization of the Lord. And so that should be made clear. Her original question was how to get out of the misery of this material world. So that, of course, is a question relating to realization of Atma instead of the body. It is a question asked in relation to liberation from the material world. So because of that initial question, also the result is mentioned in terms of liberation. But liberation, like Brahman, is simply a secondary result of bhakti. So in Nectar Devotion, there we have one of the qualities of bhakti, and that is that the devotee, when he develops bhava, he thinks of liberation and Brahman as insignificant. Because he has a realization of the Lord, that the Brahman aspect of the Lord is not considered to be very high. It's an inferior aspect. What to speak of if he attains prema, which is thousands of times more powerful and blissful than bhava. So as a devotee progresses through sadhana bhakti and then bhava bhakti and prema bhakti, in realization of the Lord, he surpasses Brahman. And therefore it is said that the bhava bhakta thinks of liberation as insignificant, useless. So this is the how the Brahman is realized in relation to the Supreme Lord. It is very, very secondary. So the devotee himself does not care for the realization of Brahman because it is unfavorable to his execution of bhakti. So he never accepts Sayuja Mukti as one of his results, because by doing so, he cannot do bhakti. So the therefore, though it is included within the realization of Bhagavan, the devotee is very careful to avoid acceptance and attraction to Brahman realization. So we don't think of the devotee in terms of also becoming absorbed in Brahman. We will never do that, because then there is no service to the Lord. So the meditation of Devahuti was upon the form of the Supreme Lord, and then she attained realization of that form. And included in that was obviously Brahman also. So she was definitely liberated from the material world, completely detached from the material world, and not subject to material bodies again. So in that way she was free from suffering, which was her original question. But as Kapila Dev has already explained, that type of solution is inferior. And Kapila Dev recommends the process of bhakti, by which one realizes the Supreme Lord is Bhagavan. And so this is the process which Devahuti followed. So though she meditated, we should not think that she was doing jnana or yoga. Jnana or meditation is also one of the angas of bhakti. It is different from the meditation that the jnanis or the yogis may do, because it is meditation on a particular form of the Lord with the goal of pleasing the Lord through service. So this is distinct from the yogi's meditation on paramatma with the goal of getting mercy of the Lord to attain Brahman, merging in the effulgence of the Lord. So the process you follow is specifically mentioned here as bhakti. Even though it was meditation, it was not the Astanga Yoga process or something in jnana. It was actually part of bhakti. So therefore her realization will also be bhakti in terms of bhakti, that is Bhagavan. So her realization therefore of the Supreme Lord is the main element, and the other aspect is included in that, but not really wanted by the devotee because it is an obstacle to devotional service. Nectar Devotion mentions that the bliss of Brahman is like a drop of water compared to the water in the ocean. So it is insignificant. So in that sense, in one sense, the devotee should reject it. The other reason the devotee rejects is because if one accepts that liberation in Brahman, the idea of serving the Lord disappears, because there is oneness in the Brahman. So that is another reason why the devotee rejects that realization. It is unfavorable for devotional service. So therefore, it is not evident when the devotee realizes Bhagavan that he also realizes Brahman, because he actually rejects that realization as unfavorable and inferior. So therefore, we do not have to worry about attainment of Brahman at all. Even though it is mentioned in the Gyan Shastras, scriptures dedicated to knowledge. Rather, we need to follow the process of bhakti and realize the Lord, and that liberation is automatically achieved.
devotee state association with other devotees to advance devotional service. Likewise, this personalist and Paramatma, do they associate with others or they finally want to give up association?
For jnanis and yogis?
They want to.
Well, they will associate with other yogis or other jnanis. They will discuss Brahman or whatever. Of course, as we see in Bhagavad Gita, it's recommended one should go to a solitary place and do the yoga process. So that is also an aspect of their sadhana, that they isolate themselves, and they also do things like mona vrata, stop speaking. So therefore, there's no real association when they do those vratas. At the same time, we do see that yogis also have teachers, so they have to get some association for that. And similarly, the jnanis have teachers, and they also discuss the various aspects of impersonal philosophy. So that's if they have sangha of other jnanis or other yogis. Is it useful? Well, if you can get liberation. You want to be free from material miseries? You can do jnana and yoga and get liberation. So to that use, is that useful? But it is a difficult process, and that liberation means merging. So there is no bhakti. So there is some bliss, the Brahman of Brahmananda, bliss of Brahman is there, but the devotee does not prefer that because the amount of bliss is minimal and there's no service to the Lord. Yeah, in other words, if one does bhakti and realizes the Lord, one does not take rebirth, so one is liberated, all karmas are destroyed, etc. So same effect is there, but the devotee doesn't merge in the Brahman. He's liberated from the material world with no birth and death, but he associates with the Lord in the spiritual body and the spiritual world. So the result is different, but he does also get liberated because he has no more birth and death. No more material miseries, no material attachments. That's not his goal, however.
Sometimes find that some exalted personalities begin to come into the world to perform some pastimes.
Well, the Supreme Lord and his devotees may appear for pastimes, that's different. But people who are struggling in the material world, they do sadhana to get liberated. In the case of persons like Devahuti, who are direct associates of the Lord, also we can understand that their so-called sadhana also is only an appearance, because actually they're also direct associates of the Lord, so they are also in a special category, not regular sadhakas in the material world.
Is there any significance for that prasanna vadana, sutta prasanna vadana? Is there any significance for that? Is this
prasanna vadana? Well, the Lord is always happy. Sometimes he has a joyful face.
It's not evident in all the incarnations.
Huh?
It's not evident in all the incarnations. Only Kapila, it has been described. Nrsimha is said to be Ugraha.
Not always. Nrsimhadeva also has smiling face when he sees Prahlada.